Today, I just want to share with you, I had an opportunity, I met with Dr. Dan Griffin. He can't be here today because of the weather, but I got to meet with him this week, and we were talking about preaching. It came up, and he shared with me a real bone-chilling truth. And the truth is if the message doesn't affect the preacher, then it's obviously not going to affect you much either. And so let me tell you, this one was a bit of a struggle to prepare. It is about setting our sights, as Paul talks, on the things above. Because our Christians are dead with Christ and their life is hidden with Him, we are to seek the things which are above, to set our affection on heaven's realities and live in the power of the gospel until Christ appears. So let me clean that up for you a little bit. And I'm going to borrow a phrase from W.A. Criswell. And one of his most famous phrases in every one of his sermons was, "This is the goal of the sermon." So this is the goal of this sermon, is to get your mind right. You better get your mind right. You better get it set on Jesus. So here are the actions that we're going to take, that we're going to learn about today. These are the goals that we're going to set to keep our mind set on Jesus Christ. We are going to seek Him in our mind. We are going to set our heart on Him. And we are going to wait in the hope of Him. We are going to reorient our thoughts. We are going to reorder our desires and daily live as those whose life is hidden in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. Speak to us by Thy Spirit as we open Thy Word. Show us how the gospel has already changed our status and given us grace to let that truth change how we think, what we love, and how we live. Teach us, convict us, strengthen us, and may Jesus, who is our life, be seen in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's very important that we get our mindset correctly. Next week, Pastor Dan is going to talk about the sins. Verses 5 through 11, 5 through 9, talk about the sins that we need to keep out. And that's something that we should strive to do. And it's difficult. The devil is constantly attacking us, wanting us to make mistakes, wanting us to revert back. But if our mind is right, we are stronger. Paul begins here in verse 1 with a conditional that is really a confidence. The condition is not a hypothetical doubt, but a reminder of positional reality. Because you have been united in Christ in His death and resurrection, your searchlight should change direction. The verb seek in the Greek is a present imperative, which means that is a call for ongoing action. So you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You profess Him. You're baptized. Your life is forevermore changed. You cannot leave this place and go out and go back to doing how you used to live. People want to pretend. They want to play church. And when you play Christians, it has dire consequences. You may fool yourself, and you may fool some people, but you are not going to fool God, because God knows your heart. So either you are in, all the way in, or you are out. And that's all the way out. There is no third direction. We need to make it a habit to look for, pursue the realities which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The object of seeking is not temporal gain, but the person and reign of Jesus Christ. Folks, here's the reality of it. Jesus is coming back. If you profess Him as your Savior, that's who you serve. And if you don't like doing it here, you're really not going to like heaven, because that's all we're going to be doing is praising God. We are to seek what is above. We need to orient our mind and our choices toward God's throne, toward Christ's rule. So we need to ask ourselves, where am I looking for meaning, for security, or for approval? If your search lies in earthly currency, comfort, approval, and success, you are totally missing the point. Habitually redirect your mind to Christ enthroned. Now, some of you are old enough to drive, some of you aren't, some of you don't drive a whole lot anymore. And it's really hard to keep your mind on Jesus if you're on I-70 or 435 at 5 o'clock. There's somebody out there that's not driving in the way that you think. They cut you off, their turn signal has never worked, or the turn signal's been on since they bought the car. And the last thing that you're thinking about is Jesus. But we need to. In verse 2, the Greek pictures putting your mind and will where your heart belongs. Set your affections is stronger than wishful thinking. It is to fasten and to fix the heart. Paul contrasts two kingdoms, the heavenly and the earthly. My brother-in-law has a fantastic saying. He says, "Show me your checkbook, and I will show you where you spend your time and your money." Where are your efforts? Where do you spend your time, your money, and your resources? In the evening, I watch a little bit of the old Yankee Workshop. The new Yankee Workshop, excuse me. So for those of you who don't know who he is, Norm Abrams was a guy that was a mechanical engineer, and he got hired by this old house, and he built a barn for a producer, and the producer hired him to build this different furniture, different things. He builds all these different antiques. And he's got a shop about, I don't know, half the size of this auditorium in here, this sanctuary. And he's got all the giz widgets, and he's got all the tools, and he's got all the stuff, and he's got all the things. And it's like, well, that's real easy. You got all the toys. Would love to be able to do all that. What a great hobby. But then I check myself. Man, if I had a place like that, I'd probably never leave. I'd be wood butchering all day long. There would be sawdust and chips and stuff everywhere. I'd be building shelves and stuff and things and all kinds of beautiful furniture. So where would my heart be? Well, certainly wouldn't be on serving Jesus. I would be most certainly serving myself. I'd be doing what James wanted to do. Our affections determine our choices. Our speech, our spending, our leisure, and our relationships. Affections are the governors of action. Did you ever think about that? Affections are the governors of action. Well, I want to go out and buy so and so and such and such. And so maybe I don't have enough money right now, but maybe I need to work on a Saturday or a Sunday a little overtime so I can get enough money gathered up so I can go buy what I want. So if we change those affections, then our behavior will follow. So the question out of this is your affection on Jesus Christ? Are you seeking Him in all things? Here's a practical step, a practical exercise that you can do. Keep a running list of the top three longings of this next week. If earthly things top the list, confess and replace them with gospel desires. Gospel presence, holiness, others good. You can make some concrete swaps in your life. 1 hour less of TV, 1 more hour of Scripture, or taking care of your neighbor or your family. Boy, it's really easy. You get home, it's been a hard day, you've been working, you go in, you get a shower, you get something to eat, you grab the remote and you plop down in the easy chair. And you go through 300 channels of nothing to watch. Put that remote up, grab the Word of God for an hour. Verse 3, Paul continues. Verse 3, here is the theological foundation. Because we are united to Christ, we have already died to the old life. That death is not a hypothetical sentiment, but is a legal, spiritual fact. Your life is hid with Christ in God. The life that will be fully revealed is already secure. This is a gospel assurance. Our identity is not based on fluctuating feelings or achievements, but built upon the union with Christ. To be hidden is to be secure from the condemnation and on course towards resurrection. You see, folks, there is no other way to heaven. There isn't. People will try to tell you and convince you of the way. There isn't. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must confess your sins. You must accept Him. That can't be done for proxy. You have to do that. When shame or guilt tells you that you are defined by failure, answer with this gospel truth. I am dead to sin. My life is hidden in Christ. That truth frees efforts from slavish fear and enables obedient joy. There is this concept, there is this idea that Christians are They've got all these rules and regulations, and we are stiff, and we got stiff upper lips, and we can't move around, and that couldn't be further from the truth. We have so much freedom because we are free in Jesus Christ. There are so many things that we don't have to worry about. I know where I'm going. I know how this all ends. So what do I need to do is while I'm here is I need to praise God, I need to worship Him, and I need to share the gospel. Look around you here. See all these empty pews? There are people here that need to be in these pews because they desperately need Jesus Christ. And it crushes me. It hurts me to the core in a town of almost 60,000 people. With a high school that has over 2,000 students. That this place isn't full. We desperately need to share Jesus Christ. We do that by living a life, by example, by putting our thoughts on Him. Verse 4. Paul here, this passage closes with hope. Christ is not the only object of our seeking and the location of our life. He is our life. Is Jesus your life? Or is Jesus a convenience for you? Do you let Him in and out when it's needed or it's appropriate or you feel it or you need something or want something? Or are you all the time 100% committed? Is He in you all of the time? His appearing is the decisive future event that will manifest our present union. We've discussed this before. Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He ascended to heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. And there will be a day that He will come back for His church. And what a glorious day that will be. Because Christ is our life, the hope of glory is not wishful thinking. It is a certainty. Our present habits of seeking and setting are rehearsals for the revealing day. Are we excited? Are you excited? Waking up today may be the day. Today may be the day. So we need to live our life with the end in view. One test of a faithful life is whether it can look at the last day in the face and say, I am ready, for Christ is my life. Is Christ your life? Do you have a relationship with the Savior? To bring this passage to life, I offer three movements, three things we must do, each tied to the verbs and the realities of the text. We need to seek, reorient our thinking toward the Christ enthroned. We need to set our heart, reattach our affections to the heaven realities. And we need to wait with hope, a life revealed. Live in the power of the gospel until Christ returns. Each movement is a theological, practical, and rooted in the gospel. There was a man that once misplaced his car keys, and he tore the house apart. Anybody relate? He looked under the cushions. He emptied his pockets. He kicked the cat, all to no avail. Finally, he called his wife in frustration. She calmly asked, "Did you check your hand?" And he looked puzzled and realized the keys were exactly where he had been holding them all along. We do the same thing spiritually. We hunt for peace and identity and the meaning in every corner of culture. Careers, approval, likes on a screen. That kills me. These Facebook people, these ticker talkers, whatever they are. "I got 6 million friends." Do you really? No, you don't. Well, the gospel truth is already in our hand. Christ is with us. Our life is hidden in Him. Paul says, stop the wild searching. Direct your gaze to where Christ sits. Let your heart settle in the place it already belongs. The keys to life are not lost. They're in Christ. Do you have Jesus Christ today? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked forgiveness of your sins? Here Paul writes that the gospel sits at every turn in his argument. You are risen with Christ. This is a union, not just behavior modification. You are dead to the old life. That is the justification and positional reality. Your life is hid with Christ. That is the sanctifying assurance and present security. Thank God Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. You know, it's easy to say that up here as and being a preacher. But let me tell you where it really comes to have full meaning. When you're a service member deployed in a war zone, back in 2007, I was on my second deployment in Iraq. The war was pretty hot and heavy. I got a phone call. I made my weekly phone call back home, and I reached out to my parents. And my parents said, "Hey, we've made an adjustment to the will." "Oh, okay. What's that?" "We've moved your sister as the executor." Nothing really strikes a chord as, boy, the odds aren't good. And I know why they did it, and I'm glad that they did. They didn't know what could happen to me. But having that assurance on the battlefield means wherever I would be called home on that battlefield, I knew that I would be in heaven with my Savior. And honestly, I didn't plan on coming home. I truly believe that in my heart that I was going to die in some faraway land. But that wasn't God's plan. Set your sights on Jesus. Christ is our life. That is the greatest gospel truth that supplies motive, power, and destiny. Everything practical, seeking, setting, waiting, flows from these gospel certainties. If you try to seek heaven by a moral striving alone, you will become exhausted and legalistic. But if you seek from the position of being risen with Christ, your seeking is worshipful, dependent, and joyful. What this looks like in our lives and the life of the church, is that what we are portraying? Yeah, we're gonna go. God may call us individually, or maybe that glorious day that we get to be here for the rapture and we all go up together. But in the meantime, are we dependent on Him? Are we joyful in Him? Are we worshipful of Him? So here's some practical tips. Begin each day with a short prayer. Lord, I seek the things above today. Let that question shape our choices. Lord, I seek the things above today. What do I need to do here? What do I need to do in this situation? Guide me. Help me. I'm dependent on you. Replace a habitual 15 minutes of news or scrolling with 15 minutes of scripture and prayer. Retrain your mind to look upward. When temptation hits, rehearse, I am dead with Christ. My life is hid with Him. Confess the failure, receive forgiveness, and rise to obedience. There's absolutely nothing better that the devil would like to do is remind us of our failures and pick at our shortcomings and tell us that we are not worthy. You know what? We're not worthy, but in Jesus Christ, we're covered. Work on the affections, marriage and families. Husbands and wives, where your heart is, your marriage will follow. Prioritize gospel rhythms, shared devotions, praying together, remembering the gospel with one another. As a church, we need to organize trainable habits, corporate singing that declares Christ's reign, sermons that keep the gospel central, small groups that hold one another accountable to heavenly affections. I want to say this, and I want you to understand, we're putting a pause on Sunday school. We are going to try to strengthen our Sunday morning worship service. But that does not keep any of you from meeting with one another on your own. We have a Wednesday night service, and we are going through the training to understand Calvary and the direction that we're going, and we're shoring ourselves up and strengthening ourselves. And Cindy Shorten, our secretary, these kids' grandmother, started a Bible study over at the lodge. And because of that, we have an opportunity to reach about 6 or 8 people that come to that on a regular basis. People that sometimes can't get out to church. And we meet every week unless there's an emergency, and it's generally on my part. And there's one lady there that she gets real upset. If we're not having Bible study on Thursday, I mean, she is trying to make every provision happen. When the room flooded down there, she wanted to pack everybody in her little bitty apartment, and I think she would have done it too, so we could have had our weekly Bible study. What I'm saying is, do not limit yourself to this building. This is just a place where we gather corporately. You all can gather at home. You could meet at the cafe. You could meet at the library. We know Jesus lives here. We got to get him in everybody else's house. That's our job. If Christ is your life, your job will not is not your identity, but your stewardship. You ever think about that? Is what I'm doing for the glory of God? Am I working for this boss over here that I may or may not like? Or am I working for the one that really counts? Am I working my work for the Savior? Now, I know just about all of you in here. I know some of you have got some bosses and job situations that are horrid. Some of you are retired already, and you've had the whole gamut. You've had good bosses and bad bosses. I've had good bosses, and I've had some not so good bosses. And that's the problem, is that these people aren't really our boss anyway. They may be on paper, but we work for Jesus. Are we doing that? Work hard, but work with the eternal perspective, integrity, kindness, and a gospel-shaped excellence. When our trials come because of the faith, recall Paul's rhythm. Suffering can be participation in Christ's work. Rejoice that suffering refines and testifies. Those trials are there for a reason. They are there to draw us closer to Christ if we allow them. It strengthens our faith. So here's three more things. Have a morning minute. Each morning this week, spend 1 minute declaring the gospel sentence, I am risen with Christ, my life is hid with him, let it shape the day. Tonight, write down three things that you most desire. Pray over them. Ask God to reorder any affections that rival Christ. You see, if Jesus Christ isn't the center, and Jesus Christ moves to the left or the right, the number two or number three spot, and we've bumped him out, that's idolatry, and that's a sin. So is Christ the center of what we're doing? And here's the big one for this week. To this week, I challenge each one of you to do this. Share in one short conversation, 10 minutes, this week how Christ has changed your life. Practice proclaiming the gospel simply. I am sure that all of you can find 10 minutes in 24 hours to have a short conversation with someone on how Jesus Christ has transformed your life. When you know Jesus Christ, your life is rewritten by grace. Don't you want to share that with somebody else? Isn't there somebody enough in your life that you love to share Jesus Christ? Is there somebody in your life that you love so much that you don't want them to spend an eternity in hell? I think we can all identify one person. Paul's, if ye be risen with Christ, assumes union. But not everyone here may know Christ personally. The good news is this. The risen life is offered by the gospel. Repent and believe. By faith, you are united to Christ. If you want the life hid with Christ, come now and confess your sin. Turn to Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior. We're going to have an opportunity here where we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. And if you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to use that time to reflect on the choice that you need to make. And I will tell you with certainty that Pastor Dan and myself have nothing better to do than spend as much time as you need to talk to you about Jesus Christ and having a life hid with Him. It is the most important decision you will make. It is eternal. You either going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're going to reject Him. If you accept Him, you have a life in eternity with Him in paradise. If you reject Him, it is a life in hell, an eternity in hell. And the choice is yours. Do you know for sure if you were to die today, where you would go? Ask yourself that one question. Do you know the answer to that? Brothers and sisters, Colossians 3, 1 through 4 calls us to a life transformed by the gospel. Our minds redirected upward, our affections fixed on heavenly treasure, our hope secured in the appearing of Christ, the one who is and should be our life. This is not a call to escape the world, but to live it as people who are already hidden in Jesus Christ. Let the gospel change what you seek, what you love, and the way that you wait. Seek Christ. Set your heart on Him. Live as a people who will appear with Him in glory.